This is Wisconsin's Morning News. And now, in for Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano, here's Libby Collins.
Ah, they deserve a day off, don't they? Of course they do. We'll be here till 10 o'clock this morning while they take their three-day weekend. But before we do anything else, I keep checking on these stories. The last couple of weeks, we've reported on a number of accidents in lakes around the area and people who ended up dead because they didn't go out on their boat and do what they're supposed to do. So joining us is Recreational Boating Program Specialist for the Coast Guard, Great Lakes District, Michael Barron. First of all, good morning, Michael, and a happy 4th of July to you.
Hey, good morning, Libby. Happy 4th of July, and thank you for having me on this morning.
Well, as you are aware, there have been a number of boating accidents already, and we're just here at the beginning of the season.
This time of year is really a dangerous time of year. For a lot of people, this is the first weekend, you know, that they've been able to get out onto their, you know, onto their boats. These, you know, accidents such as the one in, you know, in Chicago that you're referring to will, you know, will be investigated. The state agencies and law enforcement will investigate it. And usually it comes down to the same thing. It's some sort of operator error would have led to that, you know, to that accident.
You know, when you mention operator error, do you find that with most of these boating accidents and the fact that, you know, people end up falling off their boats, is that all to do with the person who's operating it? I mean, bottom line, when you see these accidents, who is at fault?
Okay, it's very interesting because we were just talking about this. Every year, you know, the Coast Guard tracks the boating accidents, you know, nationally. They're required by, you know, by law to put together their statistics. And they come up with the top 10 primary causes for these accidents. And out of those accidents, it's normally 6 to 7 out of the top 10 are some sort of operator error. For example, operator inattention. The operator of the boat is not paying attention to his surrounding area. He has not posted a lookout. You know, you can look at operator experience. By not taking a boating safety course, you know, they don't have the experience to operate that boat. So those are some of the main reasons that you're going to see, you know, some of these accidents. And we've been referring to them more as incidents because a lot of times accidents can be prevented. So we're kind of looking at those different things. It's like, you know, boating under the influence. That's a choice that operator made, is to consume alcohol or drugs before getting behind the wheel of that boat.
Yeah, and that's huge because how many people, you know, they'll take beer out or wine or even hard liquor onto the boat because that's part of their recreation. Do you advise not drinking at all if you are on a boat?
Libby, 100%. You know, leave it on the pier. Leave it there for, you know, for after the fact. You know, not only is alcohol, a bad thing just by drinking it, because it affects, you know, it affects your central nervous system, all those different things. But once you combine alcohol with the effects of being on the boat, the heat, the motion, you know, all these different things, these environmental stressors will enhance that alcohol. So, you know, instead of being just impaired by the alcohol, it has another effect on you where you're even in worse shape if you're just, you know, not drinking at all, if that makes sense.
Yeah. The other thing that I'm wondering is, you know, and we said that there have already been a couple of incidents and drownings in the smaller lakes. Do you find that a lot of people, if they're in an inland lake, aren't as careful as if they're out on Lake Michigan?
You know, yes, you know, and statistically, if you look at and if you take all the, you know, all the great lakes, yes, obviously boating incidents occur on the Great Lakes, but you're going to see the higher, you know, the higher concentrations on inland lakes and rivers and stuff, because I think people feel, you know, that they have to be better prepared if they're out on, you know, Lake Michigan or one of the other Great Lakes. But when they're a little bit closer to home on a smaller inland lake, yeah, it's not as dangerous, which, you know, is not obviously, you know, it's not true.
We're talking with Michael Barron. He's the Recreational Boating Program Specialist for the Coast Guard Great Lakes District. All right, I don't know about you, Michael. When I get in a car, I always put on a seatbelt. If you're getting in a boat, should you always wear a life jacket?
In my world, yes. If you're on a vessel, you should be wearing, you know, wearing a life jacket. When the Coast Guard does law enforcement boardings, you know, well, we try to tell the people, hey, it's great that you have, you know, your life jackets on board. You know, that's a victory within it, you know, in itself. If we can get them to wear the life jacket, you know, that's even better. And one of the ways that we talk about it is, you know, much like with your seatbelt. If you're already in the accident, you know, it's hard to put on your seatbelt. Same thing with a life jacket. If you've been, you know, thrown overboard, it's awful hard to put a life jacket on while you're in the water. So it's better to just wear it and be safe.
Yeah, you know, and another thing that I think people need to be aware of, because so many people enjoy kayaks, canoes, they might be on the boards where they're, you know, paddle boards. How safe are they on waterways, and what should they be thinking? Because if they're just out there with a paddle, a lot of people think, oh, this is easy, the water's smooth, I'm fine, I'm not worried about it.
It's, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, the paddle craft community, you know, within the recent, you know, the recent past, it's not as, you know, you don't hear about it as much today as you did earlier, but all of a sudden that community just exploded. You know, everybody was going out and buying kayaks, and, you know, you could go to your local store, you know, whether it be, you know, Walmart, Nards, whatever you had, you could buy a kayak, a paddle, and a life jacket and be on the water that afternoon having no training, because you just knew, you know, you just know you want to be on the water. You have to take the paddling, you know, seriously, because there are boating laws that, you know, that regular, and I say regular, that motorboats have to go through. You know, they have to have lights on when they're operating at night. Same thing if you're on a kayak. You can operate at night, but you need to have some sort of light. You need to have a sound producing device. Your level of awareness and your level of safety has to go up to the next level, because like you said, they sit lower in profile in the water, and then if you have that operator of a power vessel that, you know, is not doing a good job, you know, paying attention to his surroundings, I mean, potentially it's a very dangerous situation. And that's why we try to, you know, we're trying so hard to get the boating community to embrace, you know, this safety culture.
All right. You mentioned the classes that they should take. How can people find out where to sign up for the classes for boating safety?
There's a number of different ways they can, you know, they can do it. What I usually tell people, since I work, you know, that I work for the Coast Guard, if they sign on to, you know, they can, you know, search for the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary Find a Class. And there's an option on that website where you can punch in your zip code and it will bring up a list of classes for your particular, you know, for your particular area. That's what I usually recommend to people, but they can also reach out to their state boating agencies, you know, for that, because they do announce it. You know, they do announce that, you know, there will be boating safety classes given. But like I said, I find that with the Coast Guard Auxiliary website, you know, you can find a class pretty quickly.
And one last question. How old should you be before you operate a boat?
Oh, boy. That's, you know, the operation, you know, the operational laws for boats, that's basically a state, you know, a state issue. And off the top of my head, I don't recall what, you know, what Wisconsin, you know, has for, you know, operating. You know, there are some kids that are more mature, you know, mature than others, and, you know, they might be able, you know, be able to do it. So I think it would be premature for me to say, you know, give you a certain, you know, a certain age. You'd have to check with your, you know, with your state boating laws and see what, you know, what they say.
But two important things: don't drink if you're operating a boat, and wear a life jacket.
Absolutely. And just so everybody knows, in Wisconsin, that this weekend, the state and Coast Guard will be conducting Operation Dry Water. Okay. Operation Dry Water is a year-round campaign for boating under the influence, education, awareness, and enforcement. So if your boats are out this weekend, they should be seeing a higher concentration of law enforcement, specifically looking for operators that are impaired. So they, you know, they do this one weekend a year. to try to, you know, do our best to keep the water safe. So you should be seeing, you know, boaters should be seeing that throughout Wisconsin, you know, as well as across the nation.
Michael Barron, Recreational Boating Program Specialist for the United States Coast Guard Great Lake District. Thank you so much for being here with us, and have a happy 4th of July weekend, sir.
Libby, thank you very much. Happy 4th of July, and have a safe boating day.
It's 8:18.